Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
And you're very welcome back. Now, joining us on in studio is Mary Lucy, with our regular career advice slot here on Radio Kerry. As you know, Mary is the founder of Career Ahead, and she works with individuals at all stages of their careers, helping them explore their options, overcome obstacles, and make confident moves. Today's topic is particularly important for anyone feeling stuck or thinking about making a fresh start. She'll be talking about career changing your career path. You're very welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Breda. Lovely to be here today.
So why do you think this topic is so relevant today?
I decided to talk about this today because currently I'm...
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
And you're very welcome back. Now, joining us on in studio is Mary Lucy, with our regular career advice slot here on Radio Kerry. As you know, Mary is the founder of Career Ahead, and she works with individuals at all stages of their careers, helping them explore their options, overcome obstacles, and make confident moves. Today's topic is particularly important for anyone feeling stuck or thinking about making a fresh start. She'll be talking about career changing your career path. You're very welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Breda. Lovely to be here today.
So why do you think this topic is so relevant today?
I decided to talk about this today because currently I'm working with many people who are looking at a career change and looking at different directions. And the reason why I thought I would talk about this is that the first comment they say to me is that you might think I'm daft now, or you might think I'm too old, or you might think I'm really silly to even consider this option, but I would really love to explore the possibility of changing my career. So I thought that if they all think that, well, then there's an awful lot of people who think that. And yet, for some of them, it is absolutely just, you know, life-changing mm-hmm. when they see options that they have, or they may say to me, I always wanted to do this, I always thought I'd be good at this. And when I can map out for them the various routes they can go to attain, you know, whatever qualification they need, or perhaps to apply for a particular job. So I think it's well worth, if you're one of those people who think maybe I'm a bit daft thinking this, or mm-hmm. I'm silly, well, then you're not. And there's a load of people out there who are thinking the same.
We were discussing during the break that I actually did the same thing myself.
I know, well done.
I don't know, I was absolutely terrified. I always wanted to work in radio. I loved the idea of keeping people company. Mm-hmm. I loved the idea of being a journalist and being allowed to be nosy for a job. Like, I have an excuse. But I was in my 30s, COVID hit, and my friends were like, it is time to paint now or get off the ladder. They were sick of hearing me talking about it.
And so many people are exactly in the same boat, Breed, as you. And the funny thing is that if I work with one person, then suddenly maybe a friend of theirs contact me and say, you know, you worked with, you know, person X, I wonder, could you meet me? Because they made a change and I didn't realise it was possible. And the same thing. So it's a domino effect then.
And what are the typical reasons that people change their careers or want to change careers?
As you said yourself, sometimes people always wanted to have a particular career path or work in a particular area. And for some reason or another, they just started working in another area or did a college course or did some kind of training, started working, slotted into where they're working, and they continued on that route. And then perhaps they maybe got a loan and bought a car or a house. So it just fell. It was the norm for them. Mm-hmm. And you know, but there's an eagle somewhere all the time saying, you know, I wonder if I had done this. I wonder if I changed my career. So that eagle is there all the time. And if someone has an eagle like that, they should definitely be looking at options that are there for them. Other people are, it's because of, sometimes I get a reference from a counsellor, mm-hmm. Because people are in jobs that they just find so stressful and they're so overwhelmed by them, is that it's impacting on their health. Mm-hmm. So they really need to look then, you know, at that job, at another job. Some people then find that they're in a position and they just find they're not challenged. Mm-hmm. They feel they're not fulfilled. They're in every day. They feel they could do the job with their eyes closed and they're not getting anything anymore from it. They're not passionate about it. They're not excited about it, and they want to be. So that's another reason. And then others, then it's financial sometimes that they feel that they're putting in a lot of hours, they're putting in a lot of work, and they're not getting the financial gain that they should. Others, would you believe it, they're happy financially, but they're not happy then with the satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So there is an array of reasons, you know, but I believe that anybody going into work should be happy going into work, mm-hmm. should feel that they're getting job satisfaction, should feel respected, and should feel that they're getting something and they're giving something.
And, you know, I suppose the expression, find a job you'll love and you'll never work a day in your life, we're all familiar with this.
We are.
This is actually possible. We don't have to be in the humdrum and slogging through the whole time.
And I think no matter what organisation or what business you go into, I think immediately you can identify somebody who loves what they do, irrespective of what it is, whether it's, you know, a very, you know, normal kind of a menial job, whether it's, you know, high power job, you know straight away someone who loves doing what they're doing and is enjoying it.
And so if someone does, you know, decide to take the leap, mm-hmm. what's the first step that they should consider taking?
The first thing they should do is decide, yes, I want to explore my options, I think. And it does take a little bit of bravery then to move to the next step, because it means that they should talk to somebody or they should start to research. And when I meet somebody who's considering making a career change, I normally talk to them, and a lot of time they say, I don't know what I can do. I don't know what I have to offer. So when we start to track back what they've done, everything they've done, and try and build, say, a history map there. Mm-hmm. And then when they decide, you know, OK, I'm considering going a particular route. And when I tell them that, well, it's possible to do A, B, C, D. Normally they put obstacles in the way themselves, because, as I said, you do have to be a bit brave. You do have to be confident and have self-belief that, you know, I can do this. You know, and they might say, you know, oh, I have a family, so I don't know if I'll manage it. You know, I've a mortgage. But when you look at it, you can actually decide and retrain, and you know, you could do it part time. You can do it in the evenings, so you can continue with your work, and you can be putting a plan in place for a future change down the road.
And it doesn't automatically mean, oh, I've got to go and study again. I have to start
not
4 years all over again. You know,
not at all. Sometimes people don't realise the abilities they have and the capacity they have already. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of courses, even, they can be RPL'd, what's called, which is recognised prior learning. Oh. So say you were working in a particular area or a business for a number of years, and you know you can do A, B, C, D because of what you've learnt in the business. Like a course or a college can take a look at that and say, well, you've covered, for example, the first 2 years in reality based on your recognised prior learning. So it could happen even that someone could be progressing into year three of a college course or year four. And it doesn't necessarily mean even they have to do a college course. You know, there's loads of options with ETBs. There's loads of options through apprenticeships. You know, so it just means you have to see what will suit the individual person best and what will suit their current situation and their current requirements and, you know, the challenges that they may face trying to change their career.
And not to totally undo everything you've just said now, but, you know, it can be scary and, you know, people might be making comments, God, would she not try to keep in her lane now or something like that? But, you know, there are possible negative implications that you need to plan ahead for. What might they be?
Well, particularly now, you know, with some women that decide they are going to change their career, an awful lot of them, I suppose, feel guilty. And the reason they feel guilty is that because I would meet them sometimes afterwards, they made a change and they say, you know, oh, my children say, Mom, you're not there like you used to be. And, you know, and they say, oh, I feel so bad. But I mean, you know, there will be some things that we will have to kind of, you know, deal with, a different situation. But most of the people who change jobs like that, they have a kind of a newfound confidence mm-hmm. and a new self-found self-belief. And in actual fact, they tend to manage their time much better. So they may find it's more quality time they may spend rather than just all the time being at the beck of call of somebody, do you know? So that's one thing I do find that, you know, mothers may say to me who decide to go back to work full time or change a career that might be more demanding or go and study. They also may have to realise that they can't do everything and they need support, and that can have a negative implication. People like that might decide they love, you know, running every morning, they love going to the gym every evening. So they may have to be make some changes, you know. Yeah. It can be daunting because you have to deal with maybe a new course, working with new people. And if you're in a job that you're very comfortable with and you're very confident and you have your network of colleagues and your network of people from that area, well, then that's going to change as well. So there are some negatives, but the negatives can be easily overcome and dealt with once you put a plan in place.
So we're after getting we've a good few texts in, but one caller is after contacting us, and he or she will be retiring in a couple of months and would love to continue working, but on a different career path and for 3 days a week max. How would one go about this, as most options for retired people is to volunteer?
Well, there are still a lot of paid, positions for people. And I think sometimes people, when they get close to retirement age, they think perhaps that, you know, I haven't got enough to offer or where can I... But in actual fact, somebody who has worked all their life, I mean, the experience they have is second to none. Mm-hmm. And an awful lot of people, especially if you're willing to work 3 days a week and you're willing to work a full day rather than a half day, there'd be loads of opportunities there. Because a lot of people say, I work a half day. And that is a problem for organisations because they have to find somebody for an afternoon or for a morning. But if that person is willing to work a full day, there'll be loads of options for them to work, depending on the area they've come from.
And so is it contacting someone yourself, like yourself, I mean, or is it, you know, where should they start? I know you said do some research yourself, but where do you start?
Well, I mean, start even with ChatGPT. And say, I'm looking for a role in Kerry, I'm 55, I've just retired, and see what comes up and let even that be a starting point. Because what will happen is that some links will appear where they can look, and it's just a starting point, and they can then progress with further links and talk to people. You know, talk to people in the particular industry that they've come from, ask their advice. People normally are very helpful. And if you say, will you have a cup of coffee with me? I'm interested in continuing for 3 days a week in a role or a similar role. Could you give me advice or arrange for somebody or suggest somebody that I can meet and have a chat with?
Now, there's another caller after sending in a message. I feel I'm in a dead end factory job. I work long hours for a minimum wage and don't know where to begin to try and make a move. What would Mary advise me to do?
Well, I meet quite a few people that are in very similar situations. And when I meet them and we sit down and we map out what they've done in the past and what they're, even though they're saying they're dead-end factory mundane job, like they're obviously, you know, they have stayed in the job, so they're reliable, you know, they will have built up skills in that job. And some people have trained people in factory jobs that they don't realise they're even training. They've mentored others who've come in, you know, they've dealt with maybe HR issues, they've dealt with health and safety. So when I sit down with them, they actually can normally do an awful lot more or have far more abilities than they realise. So then when we take a look at what they've done and what they can do in their capacity, and then we decide, well, what would they love to move into? And then we make a future path, career path for them.
So someone like yourself can help them kind of see the value in the work they have done all along.
Because sometimes people don't realise it. And even things like that they may do outside of work. You know, they may be involved in a sports club. They may organise events. They may organise, you know, different fundraising. So all that, you know, is building skills and abilities in an individual that sometimes people don't recognise. And I often say to people, you know, to sit down and write up a document of everything they have done and imagine they're talking about somebody else, even but it's them, because people mm-hmm. tend not to compliment themselves the same way they might compliment somebody else.
Yes.
So they have to think about, you know, everything they do, you know, managing house, managing, you know, even loan repayments, budgets, everything like that. So that can all be transitioned and transferred across to a new role.
So we have another text in here and it says, when I was in school, teachers told me I'd never make a life for myself looking out the window every day. I trained as a professional driver and found myself in life. I can honestly say I love it so much. It doesn't feel like work at all. That's lovely.
That's
isn't
wonderful
it?
To
and
hear.
They're literally looking out a window for their job, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, isn't that wonderful? And I mean, there's so many people that I've worked with that decided to make a career change. And, you know, they came back to me afterwards, and I have to say there's such satisfaction and fulfillment for me when they say, like, it just has changed my life. Like, why didn't I do it years ago? And I said, well, at least you've done it now.
Yes.
You know, and they just love their new role, and they have just found such a new, renewed sense of life and a renewed sense of confidence that it's wonderful.
So another caller says, I've recently qualified mental health nurse, and I realise that I just cannot deal with the challenges of the work environment. Yes, I imagine that would be very stressful. Mm-hmm. There is ample work available, but I know it is not for me. I feel at such a loss where to even start at making a career change. Have you any advice?
Well, first, I would say that there's quite a few mental health nurses, especially newly qualified nurses that come to me and talk to me. First, I would say to them, give it a chance, first of all, because it can be very overwhelming when you're newly qualified and when you're faced, like, you know, with a difficult situations and difficult scenarios that sometimes are difficult to try and rectify. And a lot of the mental health nurses say they feel like sometimes, you know, they see the same people coming back and they find it so difficult and they feel helpless. But then they love maybe the nursing and they love helping people. So it's a matter of getting used to the new responsibility, the new environment. So firstly, just make sure she gives it, or he, I don't know what it is, he or she gives ample opportunity to settle in, just to make sure that do they need a little bit of time to settle and to just the ability to cope with the entire environment. If they decide then it is definitely not for me, there are so many opportunities for somebody who's a qualified nurse. You know, they can take a look at all kinds of, like, you know, speech and language. They can take a look at physio. They can still stay within the medical kind of field and the services if they want to. And if they want to look at another area, they can look at counselling, because, you see, they have their undergraduate degree, so they can do something postgraduate. So, I mean, you know, there's loads of opportunities for them to look at.
Perfect, Mary. We'll take a quick break, but don't worry, we'll have Mary will still be here after the break, and we'll get to more of your questions then. Stay tuned.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. From a romantic meal for two or a special celebration, you won't find better food served by friendlier people than at Kitty O'Shea's Killarney.
If you like the show, like us on Facebook. Just search for Talk About on Facebook.
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
You're very welcome back. And as we said, Mary Lucy is joining us in studio for the regular Career Ahead slot. And we have just got a text in, a lovely text paying tribute to Mary's work. The caller says their nephew wanted to change his career and return to study and an apprenticeship, but was so fearful to make any changes as it would mean a change in income and location. But with Mary's help, advice and kindness, he is now in an apprenticeship and is so happy. And this caller says, thank you, Mary, for helping this young man. Your advice and information and your interest and belief in him gave him the confidence to face the challenges, and he is very happy now. That's lovely.
That's wonderful to hear. God, I sound great, don't I?
I was about to say.
You know. Oh, it's great to hear. And as I said, it is great to hear, you know, a success story like that. And sometimes then people make a change and it doesn't work out, mm-hmm. and they come back to me and we tweak it a little bit and then it will work out, you know. But like, as you said earlier, a lot of the obstacles people put in are self-inflicted, because it's a little bit of fear and lack of self-belief, and you do need to kind of go for it, you know, and see what will happen, do you know?
We've another question in here, a question for Mary. Diagnosed with ADHD in my late 20s, I'm in my early 30s now and really want a career change. I want to move away from customer service management. I'm 8 years in my current company, which is e-commerce based, and I want to move into copywriting. I have transferable skills from my current role. I'm currently doing small digital marketing course part-time, and I'm applying for jobs, but giving up a permanent job with decent pay in my 30s is scary. No progression or room to try different roles within my company, and I badly need a change. Are there supports you can advise around adults with new diagnoses or moving into copywriting? So there's a lot in that text.
There's a lot in that. Now, Now, if you do want to move into a completely new role, I mean, there will be some significant financial, probably, implications. My advice there with somebody is that talk to who that, you know, their current employer, and see if they can reduce their hours even, or could they work maybe 3 days initially and explore, you know, opportunities for the other 2 days, and then see how they're progressing, and then gradually maybe to, and as they gain more experience and they gain more qualifications and more confidence in the new area, they can reduce their hours, and they still have the comfort that they know they have so much coming in each week. Because it's surprising, people, a lot of people say, you know, I'm earning so much and I can't take any reduction. But then when we take a look at options for them, they suddenly realise, well, actually, I could reduce by 1 day, I could reduce by 2 days, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, and once they budget to accommodate that, because they are planning for the future and they're making a long term, you know, investment in themselves. So they may have to, like, you know, take a look and rebalance things. But I mean, that would be my advice, to see if there's not. And sometimes if they go to a company that they're working in, they're happy in, and they say, you know, I feel, you know, I'm not fulfilled, I'm not satisfied. Sometimes the employer will say, you know, well, how can we help you? You know, because mm-hmm. like employers like to keep good employees, you know, if they work well in a team, if they're very happy with them, if they're productive, if they don't cause any problems, they like to keep them. So sometimes people are surprised, and, you know, sometimes people come to me and say, you know, I think I want to get out of my job, even though I love it, I'm not fulfilled. And the first thing I would say is, have you spoken to your employer or, you know, HR or the organisation? They said no. I said, well, if you love it there at the moment and there's just other areas that could be tweaked, why not talk to them first and see can they help you out in any way? And with this person, they may be able to help out. They may be able to reduce their hours, and that will open up other opportunities for them.
And this caller also mentioned about having a recent ADHD yeah. diagnosis and supports, or and they also mentioned about moving into copywriting.
Yeah.
I know they're two separate things, but have you had any advice in those fields?
Yeah, well, like, a lot of adults now are coming and presenting to me with late, you know, diagnosis. And, you know, they're just carrying on. You know what I mean? So they may tell them their workplace and HR, you know, that they may need, you know, just maybe no more break times, or they're more comfortable in a particular environment, or they're not comfortable. And they do need to look after that, because they have a duty of care to the employers, you know. And with copywriting, just look up, see what's available online. There might be something online that's available for copywriting, and therefore he or she could do that, you know, on their own time, in evenings, at night. So just research.
And another texter says, I have a sports and leisure degree. I would love to do occupational therapy. How long would it take, and how do I go about it?
With a sports and leisure degree, that person could apply to do a postgrad in occupational therapy. They will have to do the GAMSAT, which is like the equivalent of the HPAT, to get onto a master's program in Ireland. That would be one option. They do need to have an honours degree, a minimum of 2.2 honours degree to do a postgrad in occupational therapy. They could also look at doing it in the UK. You know, it's there's 3 years on. You know, there's a postgrad they can do in the UK. They could also decide to do a degree in occupational therapy.
Right.
And they could start, they would be going back to say to do another undergrad, unfortunately, but it is an option for them. And there also is the tertiary programme in occupational therapy, which has been introduced now. So that means that starts off with the PLC course or the FET course for 1 year. You do 1 year there and you automatically get into occupational therapy in UCC once you successfully complete your 1 year either in Kerry College of Further Education or the Cork College. And this is a new avenue that has opened up because there's such a shortage of occupational therapists. So the fact they already have a degree, the quickest option would be to do a postgrad. But there are other options if they're dying to do it and they can't get into postgrad. But I would be looking at postgrad and possibly a postgrad in the UK.
Wonderful. I didn't realise there were so many options to do.
Yeah. The new tertiary, because, you know, there's such a shortage, this is their new routes, and they're also going to introduce a tertiary programme for speech and language therapy as well, because they're very high points, you see. So people that would make really good occupational therapists sometimes just can't attain the points because they may not just work, you know, academically, they may not just produce the same points, but they may be fantastic when they're actually on the ground working.
Another text in. I'm a 69-year-old woman and I've been self-employed for the last 47 years. Since working still working, not ready to retire yet, but I think I would like to do something if I do retire when I'm about 75. Do you think there would be something I could do? I know I don't want to do charity work.
Well, it depends on her background and the business, of course. And like, there's a lot of people that I actually work with who are coming up to retirement and they decide that they're going to do a course in something very practical, like dog grooming, mm-hmm. and they set up their own dog grooming business. So, you know, it depends what she's interested in. It depends what she would be good at. So she needs to talk to somebody and put a little plan in place, I'd say, and have that plan ready so she can take off when she decides to retire officially at 75.
And it is a case of having a plan in place that it's, you know, that you can be working towards it while still in your current role.
Oh, you can, absolutely. And you can be developing. And that's like something like, say, a skill like dog grooming. I'm just saying that as an example now. Like, that's something you can do part-time, you can do in the evening. You know, if you've got facilities at home, it's very easy to do. You know, if you love animals, you know, so I would link their future plan to something that they love, either an interest or a hobby or, you know, something like that. And then it's going to be very enjoyable. It's going to be kind of a hobby as well as, you know, an income for you.
And another caller in here says, I'm a stay-at-home mom and always wanted to do something in relation to nutrition. I had a good leaving cert, although it was many years ago, but have always regretted not following that career path. Is it too late now? My youngest child has just started secondary school, so I do have more free time.
No, it's not too late at all. That person can, like, what I would advise a person to do is, first, because she hasn't been in we'll say, academic or education for a number of years, start off doing something online even. You know, in the evenings, look up nutrition courses, loads that are actually, there's no charge even for them, just to get her back thinking about the whole, you know, thinking about nutrition and learning. She could even do a PLC for a year, just again, to get her into the whole kind of academic thinking, report writing, academic writing. And then she could do something online for a degree. Look to make sure that it's one that she will be, she can register as a nutritionist. That would be important, mm-hmm. because there are some courses that, you know, you can't register, so you can't work as a nutritionist then or anything. So that's what my advice would be. It's not too late. If she can get something online, all the better, or something that maybe even she might have to attend for one weekend, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there will be something out there.
Yeah. I was actually only looking myself recently at online courses just to kind of upskill.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating the range of things you can do or things you can try out that, you know, like, you know, so data analytics and all these kind of things.
And even Leaving Cert students that I work with, when they're looking at career options for themselves, I would always advise them and I would give them links to very short online courses that's just going to introduce the content that they're going to study. Because sometimes people think a lot of people think, okay, nutrition is going to be related to, you know, what I should eat, going to the gym, building muscles. But in actual fact, there's a huge volume of chemistry and anything to do with nutrition. So therefore, they need to have an understanding of chemistry and how, you know, will they be okay with chemistry? So can they do something in chemistry first of all, before they start the course, that's going to make it much easier for them to actually complete the course successfully and less stressful?
And particularly with a lady like, or person like this lady, who's out of the education system for a while, just to get back into the flow of studying and things.
Absolutely. And what I found is that people who do get back into it, so for that person who may be kind of thinking, will I, won't I, am I good enough, will I be confident enough, they absolutely hate when the college courses are over and they have to leave, is my experience. Because, again, they find like they've got a load of new friends, they have a completely new environment, you know, they feel invigorated, they feel far younger, you know, because, again, a real sense of purpose again, and a renewed sense of purpose. So she should go for it.
So, and I think that's probably going to be your answer to the next question, which is the one we'll probably leave it at today. I am planning on retiring early at 55, but I still feel I am not finished career-wise. Am I ridiculous to think I can start a new career at my age?
No, not at all. You can start a new career at any age. Again, I would say, look and see what you've done in the past. Is there an opportunity for you to do something from your previous career or your previous qualification? Or else, what do you love doing? Like, what hobby do you have? Is there a spin-off there that you could create some kind of career and then do some kind of a course in that? Be planning as you're going along now. Mary, never too late.
Never too late. Mary, thank you so much for your insights today. For anyone listening who wants to explore their own career path or get professional advice, Mary Lucy is the founder of Career Ahead and works with individuals at all stages of their careers. So you can contact Mary at careerahead.ie, email info@careerahead.ie or phone. Will I give out the phone number?
Yes,
it's 087 933 8941.